Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel lesson as it was read. I've been praying for my brother-in-law and sister. They live in the Fredericksburg, Virginia area. And it was a couple days ago when a person was shot there. And just yesterday, somebody was shot in Maryland again by a sniper. A sniper who hides in the woods, who has a high-powered rifle and picks off people one by one, taking older people, middle-aged people, and the last one was a 13-year-old young man on his way to school getting out of the car of his mother. No one seems to be able to know what the man looks like because he hides in the woods with his high-powered rifle and he's just there and suddenly somebody is dead. Things are out of control. And in Washington, D.C. today, if your children went to school, it's a code blue day. It means that the blinds are down and the blinds are shut and nobody goes outside for recess. And there are no varsity, there are no football games. Everything's shut down and we just stay inside today. Because things are out of control. And things do get out of control in life. Public television, where I talked about the Civil War and people, the Irish rioting in New York City and 100 blacks were killed, and you say, well, things got out of control. I know a student and his wife were moving from their apartment simply because there have been too many break-ins in the storage area. It's not safe to live there. Things are out of control. And one of the interesting things about this parable is that it seems like anarchy. Who's ever heard of renting out something to somebody else and having them come at you? The man rents out this vineyard, this beautiful vineyard with the wall and the fence and the watchtower and the wine press. And the tenants have no respect at all. They beat one servant, they stone another, or they kill another, and even when he sends more servants, and finally when he sends his own son, it doesn't make any difference, because the tenants, avarice and greed know no end, and once you get going in some of these sins, they just keep on hunkering, you see. So says Jesus, what will the landowner do with those people? And the chief priests and elders say, well, he'll get rid of those wretches. He'll put them to a wretched end. He'll put the wretches to a wretched end. Okay? But Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of God is going to be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. A people who respect the word of God, who repent of their sins, who bring a thank offering of other people to the Lord, who love the Lord. To those people, it will happen. And so we have to say, you say to yourself, well, why didn't they were the religious of the day, we are the religious of our day, why didn't they see what we see? Perhaps it was a false sense of security. They had the word. They were the people of God. They could stand up and argue about it, and they could say, we know it better than you do. And the very attitude brought them down, because they knew it seemingly so well, they never heard it anymore. We deal with the things of God. Tomorrow we will deal with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we will hand it out to one another, and we will take it with hands folded, you see. But we're still just human beings. And we still get up in the morning the same way everybody else does. And we still have some of the same problems everybody else does. And the false sense of security doesn't bring us any closer to God. Only God himself, by his grace, brings us closer to God. And we may graduate from this place and be pastor of a congregation that grows from 100 to 1,000. And yet still find our face on the front page of the paper. For every year we send out graduates from this seminary and we say, God bless your word, God bless you in what you're going to do, and you're coming in and you're going out, and go for it, man. But when a 1994 graduate ends up with his face in the front page of the Post-Dispatch and on the television, we say, wait a minute, that's not even very long ago. We might have even known the man. Peter says, "The devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And before that he says, "Be sober, Nepho. Be sober, well-balanced, self-controlled. Be like the people in Washington, D.C. with the blinds down and shut because you don't quite know where the guy is. And don't underestimate the ability of a high-powered rifle." We can stand up and say what is right and wrong according to the Word of God, but we may not always see what's coming around the bend. "Resist him, standing firm in your faith," says Peter. We can learn our Greek and lose the battle. What is a baptismal covenant? What is true doctrine? What is gospel-centered outreach? Things entrusted to the people of God. Never ours, always his. Never for us, always for him. And we say things like, "Well, the kingdom belongs to us. It's our right." But both the kingdom of God and our vocations are only entrusted to us. And either of them or both of them can be lost by no longer hearing the word and repenting. If it can happen as close as St. Peter's, it can happen to anyone. Life in the kingdom is continual repentance and struggle with the lion. It's lying inwardly and struggling outwardly, with the only safeguard ultimately being clinging to the word. And if we find ourselves someday sitting in a jail because the bail is $10,000 cash and we don't have it, then things are out of control. And vocation becomes a maelstrom, an abyss, a crashing down. And proclamation is heard and public vows are trashed. And there's chaos within and chaos without. Where do I worship when I get out of here? If I'm guilty, what do I do? And if I can't be trusted with a shut-ins medication, can I be a pastor again? Because if we toy with the law, we can lose both the vocation and the kingdom. When we don't take seriously our sins, and when we don't take care of ourselves, the lion will prevail. Which is more important? To do your work or take care of your addictions? To teach a confirmation class or go find a counselor? To carry on or to seek help while carrying on? And we take these things lightly and lose control, and the lion starts to grin. Addiction leads to stealing like Judas, and we know what happened to him. Stealing from parents, grandparents, our spouse, people that are close to us, people we love, neighbors, and even parishioners. When we no longer hear what God has to say, when our emotions block it, when we toy with life and make light of the things of the created order. For a man reaps what he sows, says Jesus, because suddenly it gets away from him. And the kingdom of God will be taken from you, says Jesus, to the chief priests and elders, and given to a people who produces fruit. People who hear the words of Jesus, who repent morning, noon, night, evening, whatever, and who lead others to Jesus so that they too can repent, and all other fruits will follow. We've been entrusted with a kingdom and a vocation. God has said to not my people, "You are my people." What a great gift of God. And he has promised us his Spirit, "Lo, I'm with you always, wherever, whenever, whatever." He gives us each other so we can confess our sins to one another, so we can search the Word together, so we can pray for one another, so we can be confidants for one another. He gives us accountability groups and Bible study groups in the body of Christ to help us cope with things in this life, and fellow pastors who can hear our problems and help us with our problems. He gives us a campus so we can meditate in the open spaces, closing our eyes and letting the Word of God sink deeply into our hearts. For blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law he meditates day and night. He knows it gives boundaries and leads to hope and salvation. And he is like the tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season.
And he gives us cars and recreation so we can exercise and rest and relax and balance life and plan to climb mountains or camp by a stream or bungee jump or whitewater raft. And he gives us examples from Scripture like David, who was anointed as king but had to sit for 10 years in exile as a servant, being a king only in name and in the empty words that he heard from Samuel. But he held out and he persevered in faith, and he found the promise of God to come true. And he gives us his word. For your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. And your love, says the psalmist, is better than life itself. And we are ever mindful that God is able to raise up new sons of Abraham from the very stones of this building, if he chooses. That in this building, God will continue to give forgiveness and strength and guidance to those who seek it, to those who hear his word, and who cast their care upon him because he cares upon their lives and their future and their families, and who keep doing it. For as by grace, we will always carry on and we will continue to carry on, because to us has been entrusted what has been passed on and passed along, the kingdom, a gift, a grace.